Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
The mail's here.
Hello and welcome to Kids Get Acquainted with the Internet, a Girl Meets World podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Keith. Today we're talking about reactions and your feedback to Great Lady of New York.
Okay, right off the bat, I'm just going to say my niece is in town. And by in town, I mean right above us. So if she is making some noises in the background, there's not really much we can do about it. But she's a cutie. So sorry about that. All right, so do you want to talk about this video we're going to do before we get into the feedback?
Yeah, a little heads up. We are going to make a video in the near future. It's going to be a week or 2 weeks, sometime in the near future.
Yeah.
About how Girl Meets World has handled culture and heritage and cultural appropriation. And we're going to extrapolate from that and talk about sort of that in a greater sense and what culture is in a post-internet age. And we're going to read a lot of your feedback that you've already sent. And I want you guys to keep sending more great feedback, and we will have a whole spiel.
Yeah, basically we're going to expand on the, like, middle 10-minute talk we had about cultural appropriation last week. Yeah. We got some feedback about that, and I definitely want to delve into it more. I, for one, didn't really feel ready. Like, I wasn't expecting that talk to happen, and it's a topic that I know is important, but that I personally haven't done a lot of research on. So we're going to do it in the off time after she don't like me, or whatever it's called. I want to do more reading and feel more up to date, because I don't want to... I do feel like a few people wrote in, felt a little uncomfortable about some of the stuff we were talking about. I don't want to create an environment where people are uncomfortable, so I want to be sure that I know what I'm talking about. I want to be able to include their points of view, too, and, you know, just delve into it into more detail, not a quick little aside.
Yeah.
So this week we're really going to focus on...
Episode-centric.
Yeah, the specifically Great Lady of New York stuff. So shall we jump in, or do you want to say anything else?
Just in general that, you know, the talk from last podcast was abbreviated. Yeah. I think a lot of people maybe over-corrected what they thought my idea was.
I think you struggled to get your point.
No, I know. I know. And yeah. I think that I really want to talk about music and art and sort of identity and all those things. And I want to really tackle this issue from a neutrality, which I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're going to try to work for. So definitely, guys, send in all your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And away we go.
All right, so we're starting with tweets, because I want to specifically start with this tweet from @GMWBuzz. And she said, "Keith, a whole grade lower than Sassy Haltertop /Real World? I'm a little surprised. I actually think they reached really high with Real World and missed by a greater margin. Good versus evil is such a gray area that has so many opportunities, and I don't even think they got close. She ate a cookie." So, I have some thoughts, but do you want to give your...
Yeah, so I guess for me, I just thought that there were moments there that made me get certain things that at least were fresh and more original
mm-hmm.
to an extent, even though there was a lot left over for them not to.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like there obviously were a lot of missed opportunities. I just think that in this last episode, being Great Lady of New York, it was just so all over the place mm-hmm. in the storyline that we really have to... think about the storytelling, you know?
Yeah.
We have to consider the fact that we're not just grading the message, we're just grading the production and the storytelling.
Yeah.
I think that is what hurt this last one
more.
The most.
Yeah, I can see that the at least the plot of Real World flowed in a way that made sense yeah. and was very much more focused. And that the B plot was there just to support the A plot, and it worked. So I think that's definitely a logical way of thinking about it. The one thing about Real World is I feel like the good and evil thing, as big of an idea as it was kind of the backdrop for the real message of that episode was more about the
other... Don't eat cookies.
It was more about understanding the other point of view.
Yeah.
And I feel like they mostly handled that idea pretty well, even though they could have gone further. But I feel like the general message of that came through to me. It was this... They picked this really big topic to sort of be the backdrop.
Yeah, they always...
Yeah.
I mean, just to say that that was a more focused episode is not to say that it was a focused episode. and that's always the problem with Girl Meets World is they don't know how to keep it simple, keep it real. You know, they have trouble with that sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that I just think that unfortunately, Great Lady suffered a lot from that.
Yeah.
And do you want to talk about you like...
Yeah, so I wrote some stuff I wanted to talk about here. So I wrote, looking back, I personally feel like we were a little harsh on that episode. I think Great Lady is one of their stronger, quote-unquote, big topic episodes. Ultimately, the biggest issue we had was we wanted more. I think that's still a step in the right direction. Any show that can ignite discussions like this deserves more credit than we gave it. Whereas most people, we feel, overpraise the show for what it attempts. I think we tend to overcorrect on that and under-recognize. Is grading on the lofty goals they fell short of curve symbolically discouraging or punishing them for trying legitimate topics, especially when we give silly eps like Jexica an A? On the Girl Meets World scale, I think I actually, thinking about it more, I have to give Great Lady more like a B. I think that it was one of the more successful lessons, and I think, yes, I mean, I think you are right about the storytelling was maybe a little bit off, so it really comes down to what do you honor?
How do you
more?
Balance the
yeah,
elements?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Because looking, like, I think that Great Lady has more substance coming out of it than Jexica.
In chunks, though.
Yeah. But Jexica is a more solidly funny episode.
It was an episode that was an episode. Yeah, it was produced well, written well, and it just went.
So it's a very hard thing. I mean, I was even talking to people. I mean, I've even considered being like, should we nix the grading altogether? Is it just holding us back to a certain degree? And is it even potentially pushing listeners away because, you know, there's plenty we like about an episode, but then we give it a C. But at the same time, I think that there's something to be said about the practice of trying to come up with a critique in grade form.
I mean, you have to mitigate the elements. No matter how much you like that they tried something that was a lofty goal, and even if they did hit the mark at some points, overall you have to say, well, this is an episode of television, not a treatise, you know, a philosophy.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are things that they have to deliver on that maybe they didn't.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. And I agree. I do not want to punish them for trying big things. But at the same time, I need to recognize, because it is definitely the minority here, that just because they try something big doesn't mean they did something big.
Yeah.
I think it's important to keep them in check, because I feel like especially in children's television and sort of this PSA kind of stuff, you really, there's so much leniency to say like, oh, well, they tried, so they did it, you know?
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that, well, these are some big ideas, so don't pollute the ocean with, like, you know, costumes of the ideas. And even though in Great Lady there were a couple points that were really good, it's just that I feel like I've seen so many things just like that, and some that have been better.
Yeah.
And so you have to keep that in mind when this is, you know, we're trying to move forward here.
I mean, I agree with you, and especially it was tough not to be kind of harsh when we watched Teacher's Bet right after it, which was, you know, 20 odd years ago, and I think worked better.
Yeah.
And you want to be, like you're saying, we want to be moving forward. We don't want to be moving backward. And I don't think it's like a huge step backward necessarily.
No, but I mean, maybe in plot.
Yeah.
But
yeah. As far as constructing a screenplay, I do think it's a huge step backwards, but that's kind of a separate issue. You know, like.
But is it though?
I mean, I guess you're right.
No, it is a separate issue, but it is one of the separate issues that we're here to talk about.
Yeah. It's tough. All right, moving forward. At Motley_91, this is Megan. When you said Farkle should have had a storyline where he was related to Nazis, it made me think of the episode of Saved by the Bell, Season 2, Episode 13, Running Zack, where one of the characters comes from ancestors who had slaves, and she feels bad because other characters' ancestors were slaves. I have never heard of this before. I can't recommend it, but I can recommend it. I think this is an interesting idea. And if you want to check it out and see what you
think. It sounds cool. Personally, Saved by the Bell is kind of cringy to me.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and we are interested in these ideas. We were talking about how just the character of Farkle in particular really needed something more than I'm the victim.
He's like kind of the most victim-y character that they've been creating. If you think about like how they built him up in Flaws, he was like the first big victim. Oh, I guess technically Maya wasn't father, but like aside from Maya, who that's kind of built into her character.
Yeah,
you know, we had Flaws, and then we had like Donnie Barnes and him feeling uncomfortable, and then we had I Am Far. You know, like I feel like they keep having these episodes where he needs a hug.
Yeah, so it's great to have characters have insecurities.
Yeah.
But when you have a character which started off so pompous, arrogant, and destructive to everyone around him.
Yeah.
And you just, oh, but it's all because he was insecure. I don't think that's enough, especially because they never actually went back into all the kind of sexist things and like all the cringy things
and
that
even,
was in
and
him.
And even if you cut out the sexist things, I'm not saying you should, but even if you do, he was still arrogant and saying, I want to be a dictator and looking down on people, you know, like, so even in that way, I feel like there was more need for humbling. I do think, you know, there's little things I get, like in Permanent Record where he feels less intelligent than Smackle and he admits that. I think that's kind of a step in the right direction. But
to me, that's
more.
Different though, because that's always like, that kind of goes back to high schools. Like, there's always going to be somebody bigger than you.
Yeah.
And so that is a different kind of sentiment. So when you have like, oh, there's always going to be somebody smarter than you.
Yeah.
Well, obviously that doesn't mean that, you know,
you're not,
when you're the smart person in the room, you get to be like that.
Yeah. That's a good point. You want to read the next one?
Okay. At The Eternal One writes in this week or last week. The tag was painful. Topanga definitely spoke for us all with the closing line.
Yep. Think we can agree there. but it, you know, it's one of those things where I think you are supposed to somewhat sympathize with, like, agree with her, but it's like you've always talked about, it's like annoy the like, don't annoy the audience.
Yeah, annoy like, the characters, not the audience. Yeah. Because how, like, what am I supposed to feel when I watch that? Like, when the writers sit down and say, you know what, this is, we're gonna make Topanga like, oh, I'm so upset about these kids stealing all my screen time or whatever. But I just you know what I mean, like, those are the scenes that are she's put in, but I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Marisol? What am I supposed to do with Marisol? They had her come out. They had Ava come out with the, you know, the fruit headdress and all that. And that was like, that was like not even enough for them.
Yeah.
And they had to come back with the same theme, but even make it worse.
Yeah.
Like, what does that add? Especially when
they think they were doing.
Especially because Raffi was already the kind of cartoony stereotype that they were saying that was not good when Maya was throwing the potatoes.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, honestly, they're saying one thing and doing the other in this episode.
Well, it's one of those things. Okay, so like, you talk a lot about, like, aesthetic issues versus ethical issue, like, issues, right?
Yeah.
And this has both. You know, like, it's like, often you, like, you have to, like, balance, like, how, like, sometimes the aesthetic is more, is gonna make the ethical go down, and you have to find that right balance. And this is literally both are terrible. And it's like,
in this aspect of the show.
In this part of the, in this tag. I do, for some reason, this just reminded me, I think we should throw out, Caitlin's not here because she just, scheduling wise, we couldn't make that happen, which is part of why we're also waiting to do the video.
Yeah.
Because we want to make sure her voice is heard for that.
That's going to be the thing where we break down more of the philosophical and things like that. Yeah. So, like, we probably will talk about how, you know, in the episode they said one thing and did another.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about how, you know, Ava being Marisol is like, you know, like, they're literally playing on stereotypes.
Yeah.
And the same way they're saying don't stereotype cultures.
Yeah.
And that really does come into the cultural appropriation that I want to talk about, which I'll briefly summarize as costume versus outfit, you know, and it has to do with identity, and I'm not going to use any greater terms. I will get into, but I have a spiel that I'm working on.
Yeah. At Holly Jane writes in, she agrees with the Farkle assessment. First thought, father's company exploited Cambodian citizens. That would have been kind of interesting, that he thought he was an aggressor. Second, why be scared to share your Jewish roots? And you know how I feel about about Augie, so 100% agree. B story equals axed. Should be banned from the show, sucking up space and time.
Yeah.
The Cambodian citizen thing would have been interesting. I really have to necessarily with heritage in the same way, unless the company was, like, passed down through generations, but I think it was.
The Cambodia thing, it was, they're talking about a very specific time in history, and they're talking about, you know, less to do with, like, I have a business that's exploiting the workers from there. Has a lot less to do with that. I can see that as another opportunity, and one that they could certainly have done in any other different culture if they were talking about.
Yeah.
I just think that there's probably room left for Farkle to have some shame, for lack of a better word. But
shame.
Well, I think it's important. You know, he needs to be. Farkle does need to be ashamed of things. I'm sorry.
I mean, kind of everybody does. But
no, but like in general, like Farkle, because they've just sort of like wiped the slate clean with him.
Yeah.
And although I think Corey Fogelmanis has done such a better job lately,
yeah.
and he's making me believe more in Farkle, that doesn't erase the history that they spent a year and a half writing.
Yeah, and even smaller things like in New Year's when he, you know, tells everybody about how Riley feels in front of everyone, and no one ever calls him out on that. And it's like, I personally, aside from the fact that it was in front of everybody, I don't personally think that he necessarily did totally the wrong thing, but the fact that nobody ever calls him out on that.
It's always so bombastic.
All right. At Nan from Florida writes in. Actually, you should read it. I read the last one.
I should write it in? Blah, blah, blah. All right, Nan. We're not reading. I'm going to write in something to replace you. At Nan from Florida writes in this week or last week. The biggest issue is the fandom. Turning a friendly hug into a romantic moment like the Holocaust isn't a ship moment, people.
Yeah. I did see quite a few pictures of her hugging him and being like, Ryarkle, it's still happening. Look at all the chemistry. And I'm just like, yeah, guys. Yeah. I mean,
even though Lucas and Riley never made eye contact this whole episode.
It's just like, even if you think that, can you just take a week off? Like, you know, it's like, this is literally about the Holocaust.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, we talked about this, you know, a couple times before, like, how struggling it must be, you know, for the production to have to deal with this fan base, which is so instant gratification. Like, I just don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
All you can do is ignore it and move on. And just as long as you are preserving the art form and trying your best and know what you're doing, you just have to move on and ignore it.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're doing that quite yet, but they're doing that more than what the fan base might suggest.
I mean, here's the thing is, I think that they're trying to, but again, in a weird way, because I think there's a reason why the five episodes after Ski Log have very little to do with relationships. And I think it's that they're trying to reinforce the show.
It's not about that.
Yeah.
Even though they screwed it up.
Yeah. The problem is that you're in too deep now. You can't just, because at a certain point now, you created a long-standing thing that now has no payoff, and your other thesis is that this is a show about real life and about growing up, where, I'm sorry, relationships are important. I'm not saying that they're the most important, but, like, honestly, if they had had, and then an episode about relationships, and then three episodes without real relationships, and then an episode with a B-plot about relationships, that would still make the show not about relationships.
Like, let's put this in perspective. Let's say in Boy Meets World season 2 or 3, you know, they spent literally a year about Corey going after Topanga.
Yeah.
Then they got together, and then Topanga wasn't in the rest of the season. How would you feel?
Yeah, it's just very strange. I don't understand what they're doing. At Backstreet Gem writes in, so I think this was sent before we actually even, before she saw our last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, did you guys not think Zay's parts tonight were a little off? They kind of sort of said he was descended from slavery, but also didn't. I would have traded a lot of Augie stuff for more of it. I thought that with the care the Farkle stuff got, Zay'd get the same. They should have just focused on Nigel for the majority of the episode. The plot was the only thing that felt remotely authentic.
Yeah, I mean, I'll repeat what I said before, is I think that the Zay part was effective and efficient, definitely abbreviated.
Yeah.
And I would say, me personally, instead of them maybe tweaking a couple of lines here and there, I thought he did a good job.
Mm.
But instead of them crowding that last episode with too much stuff, I want an episode all about slavery.
Yeah.
I want them to hold on to that idea and bring it back and then only focus on that in a directed way. And I think they still can.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think they can still revisit Farkle's ties to the Holocaust because they kind of spent it.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. And if they do an episode more focused on Zay and race and slavery and stuff, then I am fine with how they handled this episode. But if they don't, then I agree that it's weird. Like, the subtlety of it, again, is kind of nice for an adult to view. But I think that a kid would just totally miss that is even there. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's also something strange about the biggest takeaway he gets after supposedly finding out that he's from slavery is, I'm so lucky that I know my heritage. Yeah. Which, yes, that's a positive thing, but that seems like a weird reaction.
And I think it's all to do with the Girl Meets World aesthetic, which is the twist, the surprise.
Yeah.
Zay, I'm sure, always knew this is probably had something to do with his past.
Yeah.
The fact that he knows the heritage is now the bonus.
Yeah.
Farkle didn't. That's the twist. That's a surprise.
Yeah.
And yes, that can be problematic. I just think that in this particular case, it is more to do with story writing problems than anything else.
Yeah. Do you want to read the tweet of the week?
Yeah.
Tweet of the week.
Brought to you by that lamp over there.
I thought you were going to say brought to you by the person whose tweet it was.
Nope. That lamp is our advertiser.
All right.
That lamp in the corner over there.
That lighthouse there?
That
farmhouse. But not lighthouse. I got close.
Okay. At StarWarder5 writes in, I think last week,
yep.
In defense of Nigel. Nigel Suarez has been in practically every classroom scene since Girl Meets Boy, except, ironically, Rileytown, when everyone else in the class got their names read out. So that little scene was 3 years ago of waiting for that character. And so it's like, we're all like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it is funny and ironic that he just was the only one that didn't get the name read.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. All right. Thank you for those Twitter comments. Now we have some YouTube comments. These are going to get in more depth. How do you spell it? Jacelyn Green? Is that what you'd think it was?
Jacqueline?
Jacqueline? It might be Jacqueline. Probably Jacqueline. Okay. Let us know for sure. I sorely missed Smackle this episode. I would have rather seen her cut out the Augie stuff, cut out Lucas. He brought nothing to this story this week. She would have enhanced Farkle's story, maybe even led to quicker reveal. You already had Riley's plot, which I think is ridiculous that her parents have no idea where they are from, especially given that her father is the one who just signed the project.
The jokes.
I love where she landed, but getting there was rough. I would rather Farkle's reveal come sooner, focus more on his feelings than on the mystery of it. Zay was fantastic, loved his moments with Riley, loved how he realized what Farkle was alluding to, loved that they are expanding his connections with more of the group besides just Lucas. I did not enjoy Maya. I feel like they go two steps forward, three steps back with her character. She had no reason not to try during that first presentation, and I don't believe her sudden change of heart before the second presentation. She saw a booth, and Ireland is pretty, so now she cares? I think the Riley story, Zay story, and Fargo story were enough to carry the episode. Why does Maya always need a story? I would rather expanded those three stories than just doled out screen time to other characters for no purpose. Seriously, Augie does not have to be in every episode, and the sooner Michael Jacobs realizes that, the better this show will be. There is a reason why Morgan disappeared from Boy Meets World. Daniel Fishel could have been utilized with Riley so much more instead of wasted time with Augie and Ava. I felt their conversation at the bakery was ended awkwardly and abruptly. It was an okay episode in a season of great episodes. Interesting thoughts.
I would say I personally agree with most of those ideas. You know, and getting back to the Zay thing, even though his story was maybe cut short, a lot of people feel, I just think that Amir did a great job.
Yeah.
And the writing was just, it was good, it was efficient. So, like, when it happened, I got it, you know? I thought that Zay was one of the more fleshed-out characters of the episode.
Yeah.
I definitely think, take away the Maya stuff, take away the Augie and Raffi stuff, you know, focus on the Zay, the Farkle, the Riley, and the Nigel.
Yeah, and you know what I think? If you didn't want to get rid of Maya completely, I think you could have cut out her second presentation and just when she was at the fair, have her realize, like, just show her at the fair realizing that there's more there. You don't have to show her actually making her second presentation. You can have her ending. You can even have her just, like, sitting down.
Yeah, as long as it's not, I understand everything now. Exactly. It's pretty. It just should be, oh, maybe there's more I need to look into.
Yeah, it could literally just be... You know, they never just do, like, the subtle thing of just, like, showing a montage. Like, you just have her at her booth actually looking interested. You don't even have to say anything about it.
But the obvious thing to do would be, since she's an artist, I guess, we haven't seen that in a while, that at the booth they have some, like, Celtic knots and different art, you know, from ancient Celtic cultures that she's like, oh, wow, this is where that comes from? That's really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I want to learn more about this and maybe incorporate this into my work or whatever. Like, that would be cool.
That would be cool.
But that was too obvious, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange. Next email? YouTube?
Next email. Next YouTube comment mail. Bubblegum Girl 366, great name, by the way, writes in, kind of wish they gave the Matthews a little more. history. Well, double space. Kind of wish they gave the Matthews a little more history. I mean, Pennsylvania was one of the 13 colonies. The amount of history in Philly could have worked very well. I also think that the whole Holocaust situation affected Farkle because he did basically want to become a dictator and take over the world. So this is him seeing something from the other side.
I mean, I think that that's, you know, we talked about the dictator thing and how they could use it the other way. I do think that the dictator thing could have been used more in this way. It's one of those things where, like, yeah, you can add it to the episode if you want to, but I actually think that it should have legitimately been brought up.
Yeah, I mean, if the writers were saying, hey, what makes more sense to Humble Farkle, that he came from dictators or that he was, you know, came from Holocaust victims,
yeah,
I just think that it would be crazy to think that even if he knew the Holocaust was a thing, he didn't care about, you know,
yeah,
being a dictator was bad.
Yeah.
And that was not an issue for him, just suddenly being connected to him. That makes him a crazy psychopath.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because he always knew the Holocaust.
Yeah, right. He always, it's not like, oh, I come from them, so now it matters because that group is now part of me. I mean, if you are thinking dictatorship is good and all those things are okay,
yeah,
and you know about these things already, just being connected to it shouldn't make that big of a difference.
Okay, I guess
in that way.
I guess the counter to your point is that he thought of it in a, it's a hard way to word this, he thought of it in a more cartoony, fun way before, and now realizes that it's real.
But I think what would have made that, like you said, more effective was the realization, like, this is what this actually is.
Yeah, actually not talking about it.
Not, oh, I'm seeing it from the other side now, which I'm now, because of this comment, wondering if that is why they did it, because it's about, you know, we talked about the episode previously about seeing it from the other side, which is unfortunate because, although, like a lot of things we talk about, it works on paper, it doesn't work necessarily as good in context.
Well, I think that, to me, the problem with this is that it comes off like the dictator aspect is like a fun thing that fans thought of that makes sense. Yeah. And the fact that they didn't mention it at all here makes me think that they weren't even thinking about that when they wrote this thing. They just wanted...
They forgot.
Yeah, like I mean, that might not be true, but that's how it feels. And especially because, I mean, I don't think that they think Farkle needs to be humbled. I disagree with them, but I don't think they think that. So I don't think that they would think, oh, how can we humble him about this dictator thing? I think they're just kind of forgetting about it.
Yeah, I also didn't want a scene where, like, oh, gee, and now I know I don't want to be a dictator.
Yeah.
I don't want that. You just need to be, there's some implied things that need to happen.
Yeah. It's a tough line to walk. All right, Lisa.
Unless you're Johnny Cash.
Lisa Harshberger says, learning your family's connection to a major part of history, especially one where people are still in denial of it ever happening, as sad as that is really difficult. Realizing that you are only here by circumstances of someone's grace and willingness to reach out to help. The fact that this episode dealt in a very simple way with three atrocities of history amazed me. The killing fields of Cambodia in the 1970s, slavery, and the Holocaust. And that's, you know, that is the glass half full approach to it, for sure. That they did talk about three topics all in one episode. They were all major things. And it's, I don't know. It's one of those things where I think they deserve some recognition. But I also think when you try to slam all those big things together, none of them really get their due.
Yeah, let's hone in on that thing about, you know, that you're only there because of, you know, the help of somebody else. Like, you could not have been there. You know what? That's a great way to tie in why he would feel that way with learning that news. The problem is, they never say that sentence.
What do you mean?
They never say the sentence, I might not be here today if this didn't happen. They just throw out a factoid.
Yeah.
No, they glaze over. They don't say Holocaust. They throw out a factoid about the Christian rescuers. Farkle doesn't say, wow, it's crazy to think that if it wasn't for this group of people, this one act that happened, everyone and I know in my family might never existed because of this thing that happened to me. And my existence is based off of this part of the history that follows the atrocities. That would have been a lot better.
I mean, I guess, but I don't think that that's not there in subtext. It's one of those things where, again, I think they were trying to be subtle. And
but why be subtle about that part?
Yeah, I don't know. Because I think that you can read into that as you will, and I don't think it's a crazy reading to see that part of it.
Yeah, but if you're going to focus on anything, that should be the thing, right?
I agree. Yeah, it's weird.
It's these little decisions here and there that when they try to tackle these things and try to mush them together and make them part of these characters' lives, you have to think, what's important? What is the organic, natural response that an actual human would have to these things and how that ties into things going around? And then those are things you focus on, you know? You don't allude to some things, negate parts of history that are just, you know, that you don't want to talk about, say, throw around factoids and then run off into the sunset, you know? You can't do that.
Yeah.
Barbara Blue, the new superhero, I guess. Am I reading this?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe she's Indigo Assassin.
Oh, they'd have no clue what that means. No. Maybe we'll Instagram something. They cut out a scene, open parentheses, that was in the filming that people saw and talked about, close parentheses, where Farkle starts crying, runs away or something like that, and Riley goes after him, and there's 2 minutes where they just hug. Open parentheses. Of course they wouldn't put in the whole 2 minutes of hug, but you know what I mean. Close parentheses, period. Remember to keep the punctuation inside. Now that's quotation marks. I don't know how it works for
I think it's quotation marks.
They cut that part out. I liked the hug, but I think the hug they originally filmed probably would have been better. I also had a big problem with them building up the Farkle thing.
Hold on with that.
Oh, hold the roll.
I'm interested. Can we get confirmation on this? Because this almost sounds like something Ryarkle fans would make up. A 2 minute hug? That's a long hug.
I mean, yeah, actual 2 minutes of screen time. The whole scene was less than 2 minutes, or was it less than 3 minutes?
It was less than 2 minutes.
It was, whole scene where, from the moment that the hallway clears out, and Zay, I think it's Zay, asks something to Farkle, to the moment that the people come back in the hallway and everything resumes, like, we're leaving school now, that was less than 2 minutes. So for them to have filmed a 2 minute hug, seems maybe an exaggeration.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not saying that I think that Barbara is like lying or anything, as much as I wouldn't be surprised if this was rumor that people then began to think was real. It might have happened. I'm not saying it's out of the question. I mean, it sounds very much like Flaws. That wasn't a 2 minute hug, but a similar idea. It's just such a different take on it, and it totally cuts out like the Zay aspect. So I'm a little skeptical of this. But let us know if maybe I'm wrong. You know.
So you're looking for corroboration.
Yeah.
You want to crowdsource this because you are rejecting our viewers' input and you're calling them out on it, and you think that they're a supervillain bent on destroying the Girl Meets World community.
No.
Wow, Dan.
I have no issue with them. I just think that what they heard might be inaccurate.
Uh-huh.
Yes. All right. Continue.
I also had a big problem with them building up the Farkle thing throughout the whole episode, and then it being such a short scene. It just felt so flat. Them not bringing in Smackle annoyed me to no end. She's the only female of color on the show, and that is a recurring character, and she wasn't even in it. The Augie storyline literally could have been replaced with the Farkle storyline, like you said.
People seem to agree with us on the Augie thing, which is nice.
So who are they writing it for?
The 6-year-olds who can't go on Twitter yet.
Contractual obligations, probably.
All right, emails.
I would not be surprised, actually, if there's a contract where he has to be in a certain amount of minutes in the season.
Minutes, I think, would be interesting. I think it's probably more number of episodes, but...
It's probably minutes, otherwise why would they have him with Raffi and all that?
Well, I don't know. All right, Becca. At Bumble Becca 1996. Thank you for including that, because sometimes it's from Casual Becca and I get confused. I hope.
See, that sounds like a joke.
I hope I'm not sending this too late, but I really wanted to share my thoughts on Girl Meets the Great Lady of New York.
It's never too late, Becca.
I have really mixed feelings about this episode. While I absolutely love certain parts of it, I hated others. I can't even grade it because the highs are an A and the lows are a D. I'm going to take this character by character because there was way too much going on. First off, the Augie Ava storyline was pretty much garbage. They've been listening to us for a while. They definitely did not need to include the kids in this episode. The only good part was when Raphael explained that his cousin is on the New York Mets, and that added a little bit to Riley's plot. But overall, very unnecessary and probably the worst tag in the history of the show. I feel like they didn't really have to include Maya's storyline in this episode. I understand that it was a way to show the audience that a culture is more than just its stereotypes, but with everything going on, this probably could have been cut out. As for Lucas, I actually wish they would have used this episode to develop Lucas's character more. He has barely gotten any character development throughout the whole show, and for someone who is supposed to be the title character's significant other, I feel like at this point, we need more. As for Zay's story, I'm happy that we got something, but it wasn't enough. I feel like in his moments with Farkle, you could tell that there was more to his story, and I wish it could have been expanded on. But I did like the unspoken bond between Farkle and Zay. Now for Riley's story. I liked that they showed that you can appreciate other cultures and learn from them. Also, the whole American melting pot thing was good, but I feel like they harped on this point too much, and some of her weird angst towards not having a quote-unquote real story could have gone to someone else. Now, for what I loved, I absolutely love Nigel's story with his grandmother. I liked that they expanded from the core group and showed one of the class members, and a great story with it. I really appreciated it. Farkle's storyline is what really got to me. I may be a little biased here, as both my grandparents, my dad's side, were survivors of the Holocaust. I will admit that I cried during Farkle's big scene. I really connected to it, and I could understand some of the pain he was going through, like when I first found out about the horrible tragedies of the Holocaust and what my grandparents had to endure. I do have to admit that they probably could have set it up better. However, I am really happy that they did bring in something as serious as the Holocaust, and I think they shed it in an appropriate light. Finally, my favorite part of the episode is the quote from Corey in the classroom. Quote, "Unfortunately, people have always feared the unknown. Anybody who isn't like you, from a different country, a different religion, a different look, and our first reaction to the unknown has always been fear." This quote was extremely powerful to me, and I think it's one of the best lessons that Corey has taught in the entirety of Girl Meets World. Anyways, this email is too long, I guess. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Just don't want to read the end of it. Yeah. Those last four words were too much.
Yeah. So, the thing that I want to talk about is Lucas, because I feel like we've kind of let him by the wayside, that some people wanted more, and some people wanted less. I think he shouldn't have been in the episode at all. I think there is something to be said about, like I said before, that I think that his culture is Texas, and that is what they've set up for this character, and in that way, I don't think he was necessary for the episode, because I feel like we know his heritage more than anybody else's, because that's like, unlike everybody else, that is core to his character,
mm-hmm.
right? And I mean, we don't know how long his family has been there, but the way they've set up the character, I take it to be he's a multi-generational Texan, and that is the culture that he grew up with and that he learned. So I think that this is one of those episodes where he could have been sick, you know, like just sick enough. Well, that's all I needed to say.
Yeah. Okay. I can totally get that,
yeah.
But I just think that if they did that, they definitely needed to have him actually show some relationship status before.
Yeah, yeah.
To do that. But
yeah.
I think what's interesting here in these ideas is I still need them to say the word Holocaust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it's about that and that is like the dramatic ending of the episode, to not say that word,
yeah.
But they're going to say the word Christian rescuers. That is strange. That is There's so strange also, to me.
Like,
especially in an episode where they start to talk about xenophobia and they don't even talk about Islam in America.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can't even say the word Holocaust, and they say the word Christian, and then they say the word God a couple times.
Well, I mean, God isn't specifically Christian.
But, I know, but...
Yeah, I do...
Disney Channel.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to say there is something to be said about the fact that Corey's lesson, while I think that quote that she included was a good quote, the fact that he ends with the great lady, right?
Yeah.
She hold the torch for all of us and that BS thing. If he ended instead with something like what you're saying, where he actually brought up the Holocaust and brought up the importance of understanding other cultures and why it matters and what can happen when you don't, and he reaffirms that point. That, I think, would have made it all significantly better, because instead it feels like he threw in this good thing in the middle of his bigger topic as being the Statue of Liberty. Like, I don't even understand what he was saying.
It's a symbol of America and how great it is, kids. Sit in its shadow and watch its glory as we consume your soul.
Good job making it really loud, Keith.
Yeah.
All right, go to Amanda.
Amanda writes it.
Last week.
Even though I'm sick of talking about it, after the insanity that was the triangle plot, it still concluded with Lucas and Riley becoming boyfriend and girlfriend. Why aren't Riley and Lucas holding hands? Hugging? Anything? Are they dating? SOS! By the way, I've seen Girl Meets You Don't Like Me, and still nothing.
Yay.
Totally normal. The Farkle moment to me was slightly melodramatic. The reaction seemed wrong. I would think learning about your history would be more shocking than depressing. It's one thing if you said, now I'll never really know about my roots being Jewish, and it could have inspired him to learn more or something along those lines. Even Farkle being sad over this news doesn't seem believable. Could you even hear half of the words he said? I wasn't a fan of Corey's acting here at all. Even with those complaints, I was still really moved by the reveal. My great-grandparents escaped the Holocaust, so the topic hits close to home.
Let's stop there for a second.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting one, especially from someone who can, like, personally relate and still thinks it's odd that he got so depressed.
Because we have two people here saying different things about that. Yeah.
So, clearly it's believable. It's not unrealistic because it is true for some people. I do think... I want to say, I don't think that Corey Feldman's acting was bad, but I think it was passable. And that's the thing, is I think that scene, even with that only like a minute and a half amount of screen time, given to a stronger actor, they could have created more subtext, they could have created more emotion, even with the script being so minor. That I feel like if you gave that idea even to Rowan or Sabrina and the same lines, they would have found more depth and dimensionality to it.
Yeah.
I still would have wanted more out of the lines, but I think that he just did the minimum to not be bad. Like,
I think the biggest point here is I think that his expression of sorrow was strange.
Yeah.
He kind of had crazy eyes.
Mm.
And that is definitely something I noticed. So I can see, if you want to really care about this scene, if that's going to hold you back, I think that also held me back from this a little bit too.
There was also, I mean, I don't think we actually talked about this on the podcast. I mentioned it off air. That there's the line when Nigel's grandmother's talking about the difficulty of escaping another country. And Riley says, I can't even imagine that. And he goes, I can.
Yeah.
Where that really took me out of it, because I'm like...
Why can't she imagine it? And he can't imagine it just because...
The word imagine, he didn't actually experience it, unless his family did. So I guess you can imagine it better.
Yeah.
Maybe, but it felt like he was almost saying, because he knew people... He understood. I mean, I don't know.
They could have just been reading Elie Wiesel. You know what I mean? Yeah. Imagine if they were reading Elie Wiesel and how that would make it so much better already, and it's less convoluted.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
When Maya said, where exactly is Ireland? And Riley said, I think it's up and over there. All I could think about is that messed up map in Cora's old classroom, and actually laughed out loud.
Nice.
So good. This explains a lot. Overall, I think this episode is one of the best compared with the other episodes that reached high at mature topics and may have fallen short. The themes of sharing a story and learning about your past and how it affects the present were executed very well. As a fan of the show, I am very proud of this episode, aside from the tag, And let's reiterate that, yes, I think we feel that there were definitely good chunks of this episode that did hit close to the mark when they tackled high. I just don't know that I would call this a better episode that tried to aim high because of the overall, even though maybe a few of the scenes out of context were good.
Mm. I don't know. It's a tough call.
Yeah.
Subjective.
I don't think it's terrible.
Yeah.
It just,
Brianna writes in at some point, I thought this was a decent episode. Some of the humor was good, but the rest didn't really work for me. That's something we should point out. Not one of the funnier episodes either.
No.
And I think that kind of hurts it too. I like the...
Because what you want in an episode about the Holocaust is humor.
Exactly. I liked the American cheese slices and the Irish soap. I also liked the cookie reference, and bringing in Zay's other grandma for that was great. When Farkle said, quote, there are worse things than that, Riley, I thought, what if he had relatives that were Nazis? That would be interesting. As time went on, I no longer thought that, obviously finding out that it wasn't the case, but I think that it would have been a more interesting dynamic for his character to deal with. I haven't personally heard much of anything from the perspective of someone whose relatives were Nazis, and it would have been interesting to explore the shame and guilt that would come with that. I enjoyed listening to the story of Nigel's grandmother. I did not take the Augie plot at all, especially ending with it right after the dramatic scene with Farkle at the end. I'd probably give this episode a B or B minus. Thanks for reading. Yeah, this person has a lot of connections with us. Yeah, cool. Cool beans. That's everything.
And what a strong note to end on.
Much like that tag of Gromit's room.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
Just remember, guys, we're going to do a video, a YouTube video. I just yelled a lot longer than I meant to. We're going to do a YouTube video still talking about culture, heritage, cultural appropriation, things that they started to talk about in Girl Meets World. We want feedback. We want to talk about these things. Yeah.
Yeah. So email in at gmwpodcast@gmail.com. Or leave us comments on our video that we already have, youtube.com/c/GMW podcast. Leave us a comment on our website, gmwpodcast.com.
The C is for cool kids.
Cool kids.
Which is one word, if you didn't know that.
Yes, obvi. So thank you guys for all that jazz. There was something I was going to say, and now
I just want to say that, yeah, if you are playing any other music other than jazz, we are not thanking you. We're only thanking you for the jazz that you have been playing.
Okay. What was I going to say?
You say, check out Instagram and YouTube and email us and tweet us.
Oh, I know what I was going to maybe say at some point, maybe. So, even when this show is imperfect, as it is always, I do appreciate having these topics brought up because I appreciate what they create in our podcast.
Job security.
No, what they do create interesting things that... You know, they basically come up with an interesting cultural topic or an interesting political topic for us to talk about every week, or philosophical topic for us to talk about every week. And even if we don't feel that they hit every point, it's a good jumping off point for us, and yep. I enjoy having these discussions.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. Whoa! Just whacked my tablet all over the place. Talking with my hands. Donny Barnes.
Because you're Irish and Italian.
Anyways. And yes, great point to leave off on, except for most people who are going this is aimed for aren't doing this unless they are trying to. And the problem is...
Wait, what? Start your sentence again.
The problem is it's on Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And so they're not expecting you to extrapolate and talk about it. And so without people trying their best to do that, it would fall short. So it's important to criticize them for that. Otherwise, we create a culture in which that's just okay and we don't actually talk about issues.
Yeah.
So, hey.
Dream.
Try.
Do good.
Get out of here.
Can you do that quieter?
Get out of here. No.
Get out of here. Get out of here!
Keeping all of it.
Bye, guys.